I would prefer to know that we are making sure we get to you that 2 to 3 months out having the conversation, then leaving it too close to the end of your lease and then you feeling unstuck as well. So while, yes, I know you can see that this is of benefit to the owner too, it is to make sure you have ample notice. And you have experienced that with us when your lease renewals come up in the past. We're now just following requirements that are of best practice.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey everyone, it's Sam here. Today we're diving into a bit of a special celebration, the 5th birthday of Active Agents, a real estate agency that has definitely set the bar high in the real estate industry. We're going to unpack a bit of the journey, the growth, the invaluable lessons learned from 5 years worth of innovation. And to give us the inside scoop, we've got the founder and leader who's been at the helm from the very start. So welcome to the show, Tara Bradbury.
Hello. It's great to see you, Sam. I always enjoy our catch-ups. So I'm really excited to have the opportunity to be on the podcast again.
I feel like it's been a while. The last time I saw you was in person at AI Powered Agents, but we were seeing a lot of each other on Zoom there for a while with the executive BDM, but that feels like it was so long ago now.
Certainly does. Look, this 5 years feels like it's just flown by, but I can tell you it didn't feel like that in the middle of it at the time.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the journey, because I think when you said, do you realize that we've been going for 5 years, it feels like only yesterday that you called me and said, okay, I'm going back on the tools again. And I was like, oh my God, because you'd had a really successful career as a BDM coach, done all the events and all that sort of stuff, and regular contributor to a lead agent and all that sort of thing. So first of all, what made you want to go back on the tools after such a long time?
There wasn't just one thing. It became kind of an accumulation of a couple of things. And interestingly enough, like the world that we're in now, it landed at perfect timing. So I was getting really exhausted with the travel, and I choose to live in a regional area. Absolutely love living in Hervey Bay, but that would tend to be that I would be on at least 2 flights to go to different locations for office-based training. And it was probably coming up into about the 5th year. So I had 6 years full-time with the BDM Academy. That was my whole focus, and would be going into offices, into conference events, running online training. And I was starting to look a little bit burnt out myself as well. So that was another factor that had come into play. Shane and I had been talking about the fact that I had continued to just keep renewing my license. And I said to him, oh, I don't know. At that point, I said, oh, no, I don't think opening a real estate business is the path I'd go down. And Shane's like, no, you've got to keep it. We've just got to keep renewing it and deactivating it each year. So he obviously had it more top of mind than I did at the time. And then it came down to the kids. So many of you, like yourself, Sam, grew up with my kids when they were little. You know, I think back to Amy Sanderson and myself, our Nicholas and Isabel are only 3 months apart in age. So there was that first 2 years where we'd bump into each other a lot and our kids would be there. And I'm just really grateful that in the real estate space, I can say that we have created a really open opportunity for women with children, and the amount of people that were more than happy to take Isabel, and I noticed that for Amy as well, they would take Nicholas and just be super helpful, was amazing. It was so cool. However, they get older and they need a bit more of your attention. And that kind of, I guess, became that turning point. So at that stage, Isabel was starting to step into primary school. So kind of the end of kindy going into primary school. And I was starting to miss out on more things that I couldn't fundamentally make the time for. So it was a combination. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back to the first year, because often people, it's a different conversation as to why people are successful now, and where people always want to know people's strategies and tactics and stuff like that. But often if you're starting up yourself, it's like more of a first year kind of question that I wanted to ask you. So if you can think back, what were some of the key strategies you implemented in the first year of Active Agents that gave you the springboard for longevity?
I made the personal commitment to myself that I intended on being a completely paperless office, meaning that everything could be done online and allow the process to be easy and transitional for the landlord and the tenant. So what I recognized within Hervey Bay in particular was that we had so many amazing and highly qualified individuals trying to come in from out of area and being told they have to go for the property to be able to even apply for the property. They must fill in a paper-based application, all those roadblocks that are kind of few and far between now, depending on your style of business. But I saw that as a niche to be able to provide an option that was on an executive level. And what has happened in turn from that is that that's the path that we've kind of gone down, which has been fantastic. There were a few challenges in the beginning where there was a couple of documents that had to be paper-based signed. And thankfully, the RTA caught up within about the first 6 months. And then there were some more digital signatures that came out, which was great. So they were the only ones that were holding me back. But from day one, I was the only business in the area that was, I suppose to say, demanding that if you wish to apply for a property with us, you had to do it online. We have never offered a paper-based application. And when I do talk with tenants that are obviously putting their hand up and they need assistance with that, we have processes in place. We use a tenant options. They have a great online chat support that assists the tenants in adding the details to their application. And I explain to them that we want to help you in this stage because as it progresses with the experience with our business, you will continue to remain online communicating with us when it comes to routine inspections, maintenance, and all those different things. So if you can envision an entire model that is then completely paperless and we provide two options, they can within Managed, which is the PM software we use, they can add their maintenance in there. Or if there's someone that they just don't feel as comfortable, they've got an office email, they can email that and put it to us in writing. So we don't accept verbal maintenance requests. Even if it's an emergency maintenance request, we act on it, but we ask them to confirm that in writing to us as well. So they were the strict things that were my non-negotiables before even thinking about growth or anything, Sam. It was, what is this going to look like to ensure that it is a stable business that will grow with the support of really strong rent roll growth coming in, that any team member that comes in and adapts to the model will do it based on doing property management to what I believe is the next stage. And then along came COVID and it made everyone do it anyway. So that was a benefit further down the journey.
Yeah. It's interesting though, the paperless office thing, often it's really hard to find points of difference in property management. But did you use that in your marketing as a point of difference for Active Agent?
Absolutely. So it was included in our marketing and you still see it now. You can apply for properties based off the virtual tour. You don't need to inspect the property. This doesn't mean that we're not doing the same approach as to someone that we would meet face to face. We're just recognizing that Hervey Bay has a high turnover of people that come into our area for short-term work and they're coming in and out and they're great tenants that we want to be able to rent to. So they can comfortably do a virtual tour. They can walk through the property. We do find that we have lots of tenants that are 12, 18 months. And from that, they are then tenants that are buying properties because they're looking at staying longer term. But just having that experience from day one, knowing I don't have to stress about just trying to find a friend, you know, to go through the property and have a look for me. And I can see, yes, by the photos, which we know as agents, we all do a bit of editing too and make them look fabulous. But the virtual tour is exactly what you see and they can feel really comfortable with that as well.
So with the virtual tours, that got really popular during COVID, but are you still doing virtual tours now?
Yeah, every single one of our properties has a virtual tour on it. And we use the virtual tour for everything across the business. So it can be we're sending it to a trade to show them a specific area of this is where it's going to be, that we've found the link and this is where you'll need to be in the room. We're using it for putting entry content in. So my team don't have to stand around at a property typing in content for the entry report. They can do a lot of the pre-work. It might be, let's say, 4:30 in the afternoon and they've got half an hour, but they've just got nothing to fill time. The team will look through and say, hey, this report needs a little bit of extra work, bring the virtual tour up, start adding in data. Then when they go out to do the finalizing of the photos as part of that, they might notice an extra mark that's on the wall and different things and they're touching those areas up, but they've got the basis of that report completely done. It's also being sent obviously to owners and tenants, so tenants to be able to look through properties, And owners love it because some of them, and I'm sure many business experience, are still buying properties and never seeing them. So then they get this virtual tour. And I found in a lot of cases, the ones that haven't seen them have either bought them off the plan, so they're a brand new build, or they've purchased the property and the salesperson who sold it to them has only ever shown them photos and they've done a video walkthrough with them and they've never had that kind of virtual experience.
I do remember something about this in the executive BDM, but that's also quite a selling point for landlords as well, isn't it? Because having the virtual tour is something that, you know, is really good for them as well.
Absolutely. It just provides so much more detail and simplicity, I guess, across getting them to understand. And when there's a need or something that needs to be attended to, it's not just showing them a photo. While you might have a photo that you're demonstrating of a situation at hand, you're still taking them back to the property and giving them the whole picture versus here's the photo of this problem in this specific room, but this is how it impacts it across the entire property. So it's almost like gives you more ammunition to work with to get the yes answer that you're hoping to achieve.
So we all know that businesses have their ups and downs. This business has had its ups and downs. Things change. We've been on a bit of a roller coaster for the last couple of years in a lot of ways. What are some of the moments that you really remember as being challenging and how did you work your way through them?
I think for anyone that knows my personality really well is that I wouldn't say that I'm a perfectionist, but I'm probably an overachiever to a point where I like to have things right. And it doesn't matter if it's kind of against the traditional norm or if it's right for me, then I will do everything possible to make it happen. So then when COVID hit, you could not control any of those factors and you were basically fundamentally being run by the government's decisions that were just coming in every day at one point there at the start of the year. So I think where we faced those challenges was because my personality was so strong to have to be the agent in the know and being seen to educate not just my clients, but utilizing that on a digital platform to show other future clients that this is what we do. That was mentally exhausting because you'd stay up, as we knew, to sometimes 11 o'clock at night getting the update from the government. And then you're putting together content, which would have been amazing if chat was available then to just help refine that a little bit easier and making sure that was out daily. And then it was probably from there, I think for about a good solid 3 months, it just felt like every day was about my soul just being invested in active agents, just making sure it still demonstrated those high standards. And then it kind of come to, it felt like it was 3 months and it come to a point where I just said, we're still doing amazing, great. I just have to back off for a little bit and let the things keep processing and understand that this isn't just impacting active agents, it's impacting everyone and we're going okay. And just let it ride now. We don't need to be sharing what's already being shared in the media, if that makes sense. We can just take a bit of a back step. I think when it was all hot and everyone was talking about it, I felt like we needed to. And then I just went, no, let's now step back and really focus on what's important to our clients.
Yeah. And what about some of the big growth milestones? Are there things that you look back on and think, wow, I'm so proud of that?
I would suggest for me, it's been around our social media presence. I'm extremely proud of each time that there is a potential landlord or a landlord that posts within our community group, that we still carry quite a large high minority of the being the business that's being tagged in that post for property management, which is really exciting. And I remember that being on my growth list from day one in the first 3 to 6 months. I thought if I can see these posts happening in the community groups, if I can just start getting a few people, you know, to tag in. And look, to be honest, originally, I thought I'm just going to recruit a few friends and get them to tag the business, which would be great. But it didn't end up having to come to that because I ended up being that we started the business from scratch. I just was doing everything, of course, myself, as you do when you're starting from zero. And then the work that I was doing was then supportive of the comments that we were getting. And the first two clients that we signed were both local based or connected locally. And they were the ones that would continue to jump on and say how great that, you know, service has been. And then we had tenants start doing it. And then I thought, hey, all I need to do is just be really good at being a property manager and the rest will come and they will continue to share that feedback. And then other growth paths, which I'm happy to share if we're wanting to go in that direction, have stemmed in different areas. But I would say that that is the area that I'm most proud of because it's easy to put together a growth path that you can do, whether it's a digital platform or a networking platform and different things, but to be able to build one in 5 years that still consistently has a really good support there and it's not being pushed by us by any means, I think that that's amazing in the current climate we're in.
You just mentioned customer service for tenants as well. And I know that was something that we also talked about in Exec BDM a lot, is that one of your key referral sources was from your tenants. And I know that some people might find that a bit weird, but can you just talk us through that as well and how that works?
Yeah. So what ended up happening was, if we look at the prospective tenant, for an example, there's a lot of amazing software programs out there you can use for automation. Yet we've been going through for the last 5 years. It feels more hyped in the last 12 months with the media, but we have been for the last 5 years going through a housing crisis and it's just continued to grow. So knowing that there are tenants that are applying for properties and they're missing out, they're getting frustrated with just getting the text message to say they've missed out or the appointment's been cancelled or they're not really getting any clear communication. So part of what has happened at Active Agents, and a majority of it has been handled by myself, mainly because we're still working on and refining what that looks like and I'm training the team, is that I'm usually the one that's making those calls at the moment and letting them know, look, I'm really sorry you have missed out on this property. I can give you some feedback, however, but what I would suggest that you do is you use this opportunity to review your application. Your main issue at the moment is the fact that in your ledger, it's demonstrating that you've consistently been 3 days behind. And there's a handful of tenants, that's just one example to give, that have been in that scenario. A lot of the times they haven't actually realized that they've been behind and they've just kept paying their weekly, fortnightly rent, but maybe they've updated their phone number and then they're not getting the text message from the agent or they're not as good at reading their email. So I've gone and provided them that feedback and said, I would suggest you go to your agent then if that's the case, because we know some are telling the truth and some aren't, of course, so I'm not naive, but I would suggest going to your agent and getting that rent paid ahead. So we've had experiences where those tenants, we may not have even ended up renting to them, but we've given them the genuine feedback to fix something that wasn't even connected with our business. And they've in turn got a property because they know what to do now. So I could give 1,000 examples, but I think it's about taking the proactive approach that when you're asked by a tenant in particular, try to use it as an opportunity, even if the solution is minimal, like the smallest thing that you can give them makes a huge difference to the experience they've had with your brand.
Yeah, amazing. And so what does the team look like now, Tara, after 5 years?
Yeah, so we have myself and four others in the team. So we've got two full-time property managers. We've had a new property manager who has just started out with us. She has showed interest from probably about the age of about 16 and a half. She reached out to me and completed her registration course and was able to hit the ground running from her 18th birthday. So that's really cool to see someone coming out of high school being able to do that. I think that it's nice to see that that it's being treated as a career path in school still, and there's that conversation happening there, which is great. And then we've got a administrator and compliance, so basically a full-time administration person, and then also following up on insurance policies and refining smoke alarm compliances and just cross-referencing and checking over those areas. And then me
being amazing
principal, and I've really enjoyed doing the leasing. So I've still been kind of wearing that hat at the moment, but our team have got quite a bit of experience now, which is great. So they are pushing me away more to work on other projects, and we've kicked off sales in the last, Shane was doing it for 12 months. They're coming this year. I'd probably say we're getting close to a year and a half now. And for me, it's not about going into that side, but I'm being more available to, you know, navigate those conversations when a landlord's putting their property on the market and being in that phone conversation with the salesperson and how we're going to approach the situation for you as your rental agent with the tenant, how this is going to work in with the sales agent so we can make it a nice smooth transition with the owner and the tenant for that matter as well.
Well, interesting. That was going to be the next question I was going to ask you actually, is that it has been a bit of an interesting market over the last couple of years and vacancy rates have been low and that sort of thing. How do you adapt to those types of market fluctuations? And obviously that's new for you, that you've got Shane doing sales now. What does the business actually look like?
I think in the sales department side, we are growing. The brand is very much known for the property management side. And to be fair, that's what I pushed it for 4 years. So it's no accident. It's been demonstrated that way. There is times where conversations will come up of, oh, we've not heard of active agents before, which is fine. I think that tends to happen. But on a sales side, I think that it's been, for me, watching Shane, he's not just stepped into what was 2 years prior, which was just, you know, as we know, sales were just flying in and around everywhere and it was almost chaos, really. But he is in a stage where his first year, now I hope I don't misquote this, but I'm sure it was 14 in his first year, which I think is pretty impressive for someone who's a first-time salesperson in the industry, coming from financial planning, completely different backgrounds. Of course, I've been there to support him to a point, but I don't have the high sales knowledge as such. So he's kind of really delved into that and ran that on his own and then had the ability to work that off the rent roll. But a lot of it he's done through his own networking as well. We're seeing on both sides, so on both the sales and the property management side for inquiry, that probably March and April in particular, it's starting to have a bit of a trend of, I would say, reduced inquiry, if that makes sense. So when I'm talking to investors now, when their lease renewals are coming up, I'm saying to them, if you removed COVID from the equation and then you went back to what was a traditional market this time of year, that's the level of inquiry that we're getting now. So we're not in that same state that we were, where we just had no chance to even think it was, here's a tenant, here's a house, let's match them together. We're seeing a few more of our new build releases coming available. I've got at least six on the go ready for May. And I've talked to all those owners independently. We're trying to stagger them out individually as to how they'll go out because they're settling around the same time. I've been having conversations with them on board of going, well, it's not going to look great if we have them all come up at once. So it's more being proactive now. It's not just, oh, if this is easy, we can just put these pieces of the puzzle together. It's, well, what does the bigger picture look like? We've got all these pieces. Now we need to think strategically. And that's the same for sales that I'm seeing from them, what they're telling me.
Absolutely. So there's been quite a few regulatory changes in Queensland as well in the last couple of years. What sort of impact have they had, if anything, on your business?
You know, a lot of people were freaking out about the pet policy. And if only everyone was like you, Sam, because I know that I can't think of your dog's name, which is terrible, but you obviously have been a tenant as well. You've shared that on your journey and almost as though it's like your second child. And unfortunately, not all tenants have those same behaviours when they have pets. So whenever I see different things, like that's one example of the legislation that has come in, it's about, it's here, it's not going anywhere, it's fixed. So what can we do to be proactive in this space and how can we educate our owners? And if they're coming to us and wanting to sign up and say, look, we get that the legislation's there, but just letting you know, we're not accepting any pets. I'll go through the situation of how the legislation works, what the risks are, how it could end up if they go to QCAT. If they're still really having that massive pushback and they're just expecting that we'll just be the problem solver, but they're not going to be a part of that process, then they're not the client for our agency. So I think that you've really got to review and assess your clients that are coming into the business. And if you're getting a few of those cues of them demonstrating that they just want to challenge legislation in a way because they just think it's their God-given right, then they're going to become a huge issue for your team within the business. And then ultimately to yourself, if you're the principal signing up business as well. But if you find that you can talk to them, provide examples, I've had owners that have said to me, we'd really prefer no pets. And then I've presented an application where you can see that the agent has spoken so highly of this dog or of this cat or whatever it might be. I've gone back to them and said, I would rather you know the type of applicant that's going in with a pet than in 6 months or even 6 weeks' time, because they hired the pet at their family house and then apply later, that you know what you're getting versus getting told you've got 2 weeks' notice to mentally prepare yourself for this decision. So I think that any legislation like that that comes in, you've just got to hit it head on. The same with the removal of the without grounds clause, which we saw around that same time as well. Our business followed through with the recommendations from the REIQ and ensured that all of our tenancy agreements had a confirmed notice to leave attached to our Form 18A. And that didn't sit well with two of our tenants in particular, that, oh, the world was over and they just could not believe how dare us putting them in this situation. And I know it's kind of cheeky for me to have a laugh about it now. And I did spend a lot of time on the phone. So I did sit back and genuinely listen to them. But by the end of the phone call, they both understood my position on it, which was we're controlled when it comes to running a rent roll of how humans interact with the steps that are involved and how the software supports us in both those areas. And for me as a business owner, I can appreciate that you feel that this decision is one that we're making without a consideration for you, but we actually are, because I would prefer to know that we are making sure we get to you that 2 to 3 months out having the conversation, then leaving it too close to the end of your lease and then you feeling unstuck as well. So while, yes, I know you can see that this is of benefit to the owner too, it is to make sure you have ample notice. And you have experienced that with us when your lease renewals come up in the past. We're now just following requirements that are of best practice for the business and best practice for the property transaction. So kind of referring back to that property transaction as well. So I know that's a long-winded answer to it, Sam, but I think when you use those examples, I hope that anyone in Queensland, when we see the next stage coming through later in the year, is, yeah, there's going to be stuff that it's going to be a bit of a nuisance to have to adapt to, but we should be preparing now as to what that's going to look like for us as an agency and explain to our owners what we plan to do in our own businesses.
It sounds like you've used it as a great opportunity for education, as you always do, because to educate is, you know, one of the things that seems to come naturally to you. And I guess towards the end of the year, it could be relatively the same, like stay calm, educate. Actually, that's a good slogan, isn't it? Keep calm and educate.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple more questions. Now that Shane's working in the business as well, and I know it's common because Mark and I work in the same business and it's very common in the real estate industry, how do you manage the demands of working with your spouse and what does work-life balance look like at the moment?
Oh, look, I'm not going to say it's easy. That would be a big fat lie. I think with both Shane and I, we both bring very different skill sets to the business. And there's a lot of value that he brings, obviously, with his financial planning background. But also with marketing, there's a lot of really cool things that they were doing within Bradbury Wealth and the Advice Centre, which, you know, massively put them as leaders in their marketplace as well for their industry. And he was a part of that too. So I guess for both of us moving forward, one thing I know that we both do is we pull each other up when we're talking about work at home, because it tends to get into a disagreement and it's not good for your relationship to do that. So we're working on that. I wouldn't say that we're perfect at it by any means, but it's definitely something that we've both recognized that it honestly just creates so much more frustration in your relationship if you keep wanting to bring that stuff home. So then we are strategically working on booking in time together and talking about things independently during the workday when we need to, because the kids see that. The kids see the negative energy bouncing off of you as parents. So I would suggest that we are not perfect at it by any means. I don't know of a couple that are, but it's definitely something that's of top of mind for both of us. And probably where I know I have to try a bit harder is the fact that because this has been my whole world straight out of high school into property management, I do find myself where he will look at something from a different angle, go, yeah, but I've been doing this for 23 years and I have to really kind of take that step back sometimes and let him be heard. Even if I know straight away, I'm like, no, that's just definitely not going to work. Like actually probably let the process run a bit more of that conversation and then demonstrate why versus going, oh, that'd be ridiculous. I know because I have been doing this. So they're probably the two areas of balance that we're working on.
That's a fantastic leadership tip right there. Doesn't have to be about your husband either.
Yeah.
Okay. So close to last question, what does the next 5 years look like to you?
I'm really excited. Excitement, definitely. I've spent a lot of time and I was involved in the PM Reach training over the last 18 months and went to a couple of locations. Some of your listeners will have been there and seen my presentation where I was just talking about it. Actually wasn't just connected with the active agent's journey, but right from setting up the BDM Academy and kind of the whole way through. So I think a lot of lessons were gained from that experience for me and a lot of work that I've personally done on myself. We've had two team members that were with us for 12 months independently, but both went on different journeys. And I still actually connect with them and chat a lot of the time. And Ellie was the one in particular. She's probably been the only team member that has always had no hesitation in pulling me up if I have been overworking. So she was kind of my first turning point where I made that change really quickly because she just smacked in my face going, you're just going to burn out. And from there, it stemmed into obviously doing the training. And then we actually readjusted a lot of our structure around our hours. So our team actually work in property management from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Thursday. and then 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on a Friday. So they all finish at 1 p.m. We close the office from 1 p.m. That's very apparent to all of our clients and trades as well. And they get a really good break then over the weekend. So that came from during the time of having Ellie in our business. And I think that when I talk about the next 5 years, it's obviously always focusing on growth because I love it. It's my passion. And we could do a whole podcast separately on that as well.
Yeah.
But it's also about continuing now over this next 5 years of building on what we currently have and making sure that we stay true to our values, being that having that work ethic and having my team rested and rejuvenated and ready to come back on Monday, just then in turn keeps the customer, you know, service levels high. All those different things accumulated together the next 5 years are important. Growth absolutely is important. I wanted to be at 350 by the end of the year. As of today, we currently have 280 under management. So 350 is very achievable. But at the same time, I'm very selective in what I take on, in the essence that if the property has quite a bit of maintenance that needs to be done, but the owner's not prepared to do it, we just won't take it on. If the owner has ideas that don't align with our business and values, we won't take it on. So if that means I have to slow down the growth plan because I'm not attracting the right properties, then that's okay to slow it down and keep working on the areas going, well, why are we attracting these properties then? What are we doing wrong with our marketing and why aren't we getting the ones that we have been getting? Hasn't happened yet, but those types of things I would suggest is what the next 5 years looks like. I think most assume that you have a definitive number of what you want to grow to. And for me, it's not that at this point, but doesn't mean that it won't be. I'm really proud of our arrears rate. We were just discussing it this morning. We've got one tenant that is going through some significant financial hardship. We've been working with them and they've had some health conditions attached to that. But aside from that, there was only 6 other tenants that were between 3 to 5 days. Now on a rent roll of, you know, the 280 properties that we're on, those are goals for me that I'm really proud of. That's demonstrating that we're focused on all different levels when it comes to the property transaction. So that's the direction of the goals, is working with the team, making sure they're achieving their goals as well, which they've all got different goals, which is really exciting. And I've definitely got a gun BDM interested in my team, which is very exciting as well. And all of that kind of combined together and keeping that work-life balance too, because I've only really had it probably last year and this year, if I was really honest about the last 5 years.
It's not something a lot of us are honest about. You're not the only one, but yeah, it's hard when you're sort of running a small business and focused on growth and all the rest of it, but you've done amazingly well. I'm a fan. So I want to congratulate you on 5 years. It's an amazing job. And thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing some of your journey with us. If there was one thing or one final tip that you'd like to leave with everyone, what would it be?
I think if you're thinking of going out and starting your own business in property management, don't be afraid. And I know it's probably been something that has been shared from previous speakers that you've had in the podcast, but I genuinely do believe that if I can go out and do it the way that I've done in a market that was completely against, there's absolutely no way that I will do an online application. And everyone's saying to me, you'll have to give a paper-based application out. I said, no, it's not what I'm doing. I'll find a different way to do it. If that is your plan, then stick to it is probably the advice that I'm kind of alluding to. So just because someone tells you that you can't do it doesn't mean that there's not another way or another angle to get to it. You might not get what you want straight away, but it could be a starting point. So for me, being paperless from day one wasn't an achievable goal based on legislation, but there was enough there to work with that there was a path for me to get to it. So don't let other people dictate to you that you can't do something. And if you really want it, you can make it happen. And I know that there's a lot of interesting talk because I've been keeping an eye on some of these lovely, delightful people on TikTok that love to talk about real estate agents and property managers in particular, saying that there's just no way that people can buy a property, like that this next generation won't be able to buy a property. And I think it will be more difficult. I don't deny that, but I think it's very unfair to say that there is just no way, because there is always a way. It just might be a different way to what you and I, Sam, did when we purchased our first home. It's not impossible. It's just there isn't the right plan or the right path there that's an easy step-by-step guide for someone to take on a step into the first home market, because there are challenges, whether it comes to borrowing or all sorts of different things or financial background. You've just got to find out what that plan is and put it together. So I think that's a very long-winded answer from me again, but it's, you know, just because someone says that you can't doesn't mean that you can do it. You've just got to find that right way and ask a ton of questions. Just continue to ask questions.
Yeah, I really love that. And that's an amazing note to end on. So Tara Bradbury, thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.